back and they score! And Giroux's got it! He's a push it by Antti Niemi!
It's time for the 5-Minute Major Podcast.
What is the significance of that name?
Tiger score!
Now here's your hosts, Matt Mastrogiovanni and Dave Morris.
That's what the people came to see.
A 5-Minute Major Podcast. What took you so long to finally seal the deal, my man? Let's go.
Hey guys, how's it going? Welcome to another episode of 5-Minute Major. Dave here, as always, with my broadcast partner in crime, Matt Mastrogiovanni. Matt, how's it going this evening? We have one more week left.
It's going well. We made it to Thursday. It's kind of been a weird week where the weather can't really figure out what it wants to do. We're still getting that like four seasons in a day type weather where it's cold in the morning, warms up a little bit in the afternoon, unless the sun's not out, and then it just stays chilly. So just need some constantly good weather here. Hopefully there's going to be some good weather this weekend. And it's a little bit warmer as well, because God knows we need it. I thought the seasonal depression was on its way out, but it's holding on by the skin of its teeth, I think, for in some instances where it's just, you know, without that sunlight, just kind of feels like gloomy and everything. Mm-hmm. Everything feels bad. Speaking of bad.
The Flyers are bad.
The Flyers are still bad. No surprise there. I believe they're on a 6-game losing streak right now. They've lost their, obviously they've lost their last six, but since we last recorded, they've lost 3 games and are actually playing a game right now against an even worse team, surprisingly, the Montreal Canadiens in Montreal. The Flyers are actually winning 2-1. The first period is about to end. The bright spot so far, Bobby Brink has 2 assists on both goals from James Van Riemsdyk and Ivan Provorov. Montreal also just scored a, not even controversial, just a blatant, shouldn't have been a goal, because I haven't seen it, but apparently there was a hand pass that led to a goal, and the refs completely missed it and let the goal stand with no review whatsoever.
Like, can't you review those things, though, now? Like, isn't that, like, the whole point of having review?
I mean, you would think, but as Peter Laviolette once said, Montreal typical.
Yeah, that's very true.
So, I won't say what he said before, because we only have one of those words, and we might have to use it later in the show.
Precisely.
So, but, yeah, I mean, the Flyers dropped back-to-back games on Saturday and Sunday, Easter Sunday, against the Buffalo Sabres in a home-and-home. They were in the lead in the first game. They had a 2-0 lead after the first period, and then Buffalo scored 4 goals in the second, and that was pretty much all they needed because they won 4-3 in regulation. Then the next day, Easter Sunday, the Flyers did not deserve an Easter basket that day.
No.
They mustered up just 3 goals, 1 in each period, while the Sabres mustered up 5, 2 in the first, 2 in the second, and 1 in the third, and they handed the Flyers another loss in Philadelphia, 5-3, with the Sabres winning. And then, Tuesday in Toronto in the 6, yikes. If you could sum that game up with one highlight, it would be Keith Yandel falling down and the Flyers getting scored on, because that was brutal. But, I mean, the Flyers lost 5-2. Martin Jones played pretty well. I mean, he made 34 saves. He was just getting peppered at points. The Maple Leafs were also without Austin Matthews, but again, they have a ton of firepower up front.
Without him.
Yeah, so they had no problem handling the Flyers without him. Just a tough outing again for Yandel. I know the Masters are over, but I'll have to check his stats at some point and see if he's still in the lead for that green jacket for the worst plus-minus in the league. Back to right now, at 7:47 on Thursday, the Flyers are, let me just check again in case anything happened. All right, we're good. Flyers are still winning at the first intermission, 2-1 against Montreal in Montreal. But Dave, if you have any thoughts surrounding these last few games, I'll give you the talking stick here and just kind of sum it up in your own words, as I've done.
I mean, it's cool that they're winning it all tonight so far, but lose the game. Like, seriously, like, I know Montreal is terrible, but Montreal has Carey Price back. Yay! Like, that's a legitimately good thing to see, because he is one of the best goalies in the league. You have to think, if they had Carey Price all year long, Montreal is probably not as bad of a team as they were this year. But the Flyers need to lose out, honestly. With how Dave Hacksaw's Seattle Kraken are going on a winning streak right now in garbage time, just like the Dave Hacksaw Flyers team used to do, it's perfect, because they are raising and lowering their draft lottery odds, and the Flyers keep on losing and raising their draft lottery odds. So, with that being said, Montreal, please come back and win this hockey game. I mean, you lose back-to-back games against the Buffalo Sabres. Now, I know we've talked about Buffalo a lot this year because of Jack Eichelgate and yada, yada, yada. But honestly, I think this might be a hot take or controversial take here, Matt, but I think the Sabres are in a better spot franchise-wise for the future than the Flyers are.
Yeah.
But you
say Montreal's in a better spot than we are?
Buffalo.
Oh, Buffalo. Oh, yeah, Buffalo. Yeah, I mean, they're kind of poised and ready, I think, to go back, not into the elite ranks of the NHL, but I think almost kind of similar to, like, Detroit, where...
I mean, they could even surpass Detroit. If they have a good offseason coming up here...
Yeah.
If they make the right additions and their prospects, who seem to be proving legit, take another step forward, they could be... not a contender, but they could, you know, they could threat to make the playoffs and be in it all year next year. And the Flyers need a lot of work.
You're telling me.
And it's just, when it rains, it pours. I mean, there's really nothing much to talk about, Matt, in regards to these games. It's just...
good song.
yeah, true. It's a bop, as the kids say these days. But... I tune in just barely enough to get an idea of how the sense of the game is going, and I'm doing other things. Like, I'm not going to waste my time watching a bad hockey team. Yeah. Like, I just don't have any desire to do it. I did it for so many years, thinking they had turned the corner finally a couple years ago, only to be smacked in the face by them. And it's just, it's frustrating, and I'm over it.
Charlie O'Connor, I just retweeted this. He tweeted, just a couple minutes ago, this game has been exactly the shit show one would expect. So that's basically summing up the Flyers-Canadiens game right now. It's just a complete mess.
I mean, I'm just looking forward to the end of the year, honestly. I'm looking forward to the last four Flyers games and then enjoying some playoff hockey.
Yeah.
Like, that's all I'm really looking forward to. I mean, coming up after tonight's game against the Canadiens, the Flyers only have four games left this year against the Penguins at home on Sunday, Monday in Chicago against the Blackhawks, Wednesday in Winnipeg against the Jets, and then they closed out the regular season on Friday the 29th at home against the Ottawa Senators, and then that is it till next season.
Yeah.
So, I am ready to turn the page on this year. I want to see a productive offseason. I want to see a good draft. I want to see maybe potentially the additions of some star forwards. There is a pretty big free agent who grew up in South Jersey and perhaps might have played his college hockey with Kevin Hayes. I don't know if I can confirm all of this, but it rhymes with Yanni Radrow.
We're gonna go down this avenue again, are we?
No, it would be cool. He's a legit talent, UFA. He's gonna cost a pretty penny, but
yeah,
if Comcast and Dave Scott and Chuck Butcher want to do this aggressive retool, you sign a player like Johnny Gaudreau.
Yep.
Or you go down the RFA route and sign his teammate Matthew Tkachuk, who I would love.
I was also going to say, Sean Monahan.
I don't think Sean Monahan's fallen out of favor, and he's really, really become, at points this year, he's been a fourth line, third line center for the Flames. He's really fallen out of favor. If I want any two players off that Flames current roster that are forwards, I'm taking Gaudreau or Tkachuk. On defense, I would try for Shillington or Anderson. Flames are a good team, but they're going to lose one of those two forwards. They can't keep both Tkachuk and Gaudreau. So if I'm Chuck Fletcher, I'm trying to get at least one of them. You can't get both, but try and get one of them.
I think we need to get Andrew Mangiapane.
He's not that good.
Yeah, but he's got a great name.
He does have a great name, but he's also a.k.a. Ryan Hartman, who just Andrew Mangiapane tailed off quicker than Hartman did.
He's got a nice, strong Italian name.
Bobby DeBoopy.
He'll bring some gabagool.
Some gabagool.
The Flyers. Some much-needed gabagool.
But no, I mean, I want to see a good draft. I want to see them potentially pick top three and actually pick a legitimate franchise-changing player that's not named Nolan Patrick. Yeah. Yes, the dig was intentional because screw Nolan Patrick. I just want to see them get an elite talent this offseason. I want to see them move on. I want to see them sedge some of these terrible contracts. And I've got a bone to pick, too. And I know I'm really going off on my soapbox here, Matt, but since when did Flyers Twitter start hating Sean Couturier again and calling his contract bad?
I haven't seen any of that.
Oh, it's all over my feed. Maybe you have these people muted or don't follow them, Astro.
That's fine with me.
It is all over my Twitter feed, and I'm like, these morons.
The guy hasn't even played the majority of the season.
He came into the year unhealthy, tried to play through it, and they shut him down finally, if they should have. He's entering the prime of his career, and he's a Selke Trophy winning, first line center. How is that bad? It's not. People who are back to hating on Coots, you're morons, and I'll tell that to your face or even tweet it at you. Because I have zero F's to give. I'm not willing to drop the one F we have on that sentence right there.
Save it.
But yeah, no, I just want a good offseason. I'm back to being cautiously okay. Like, I'm not... It's safe to say going into this year, Matt, and I'm sure when we do our playoff, we're going to do, before the playoffs happen, a playoff preview and a Flyers season, in memoriam episode. But like...
Yeah.
When we went back to the beginning of this season, all the way back in October, we were both pretty hyped about the Flyers, and they started out 4-1-1. And, Keith Yandle had 5 points in 3 games. Ryan Ellis had 5 points in 5 games. We were like, cool, gravy, great offseason, let's go. And then we know what happened since that point. Jack. Oh, no.
He knocked over the suit.
We had matzo ball soup tonight.
Soup is down.
And I think Jack just knocked it all over. And we are back here at 5 Minute Major Radio. Sorry for that unscheduled break in our programming. I had a very bad dog in my apartment. And we are now moving forward with the rest of this evening's podcast. So that happened. But any hoodles. From one bad event to... more bad events, I guess, surrounding this hockey team, Matt, and kind of news that everyone knows about.
Mm-hmm.
Two longtime Flyers trainers are suing the Flyers and Comcast Spectacorp over getting terminal cancer. And one of the trainers is Jim McCrossin. So, Matt, I know you got the article lined up, and this is, of course, brought to you by Anthony Sanfilippo of Crossing Broad and Stone the Goalie.
Yeah. Yep, so I'm looking at Bleacher Report, but they are giving their credit, as they should, obviously, to Anthony Sanfilippo from Crossing Broad and the Snow the Goalie podcast. This news was broken just a couple days ago, the 18th, earlier this week. According to the article, I'm going to read from the Bleacher Report article, but again, credit to Anthony Sanfilippo of Crossing Broad. The Philadelphia Flyers organization is being sued by two longtime athletic trainers who say that they were exposed to cancer-causing chemicals throughout their tenure with the team. Again, according to Anthony Sanfilippo of Crossing Broad, Jim McCrossin and Sal Raffa worked at the team's training facility in Voorhees, New Jersey for the past 22 and 18 years, respectively. Sanfilippo noted that the pair filed the suit, quote, after receiving similar medical diagnoses. I think that's, is it diagnoses or diagnosis? Is, no.
Diagnoses.
Diagnoses, yeah, I was right. Trust my gut. That they allege came from a work environment in which they were unknowingly exposed to cancer-causing carcinogens, end quote, emitted from Zambonis. The Flyers released a statement, kind of a cold-hearted statement.
Kind of cold-hearted?
Very cold-hearted. Saying in part that the organization looked into the claims made by both trainers and believe, quote, quote, they have no merit. And then, let's see, a lot of defendants were named in the suit, involving owning, those who own and maintain the training facility. The defendants face allegations of negligence, strict liability, and a loss of consortium. Both trainers are diagnosed, quote, with nearly identical and incurable blood diseases and or cancer a few months apart. McCrossan developed, quote, essential thrombocythemia, myeloproliferative neoplasm, and the blood cancer myelofibrosis, which is terminal. Rafa developed, quote, thrombocythemia, which is incurable and is proliferative for other blood diseases such as cancer or inducing strokes. Not very good terms there. Again, according to the article from Bleacher Report from Sanfilippo, the trainers say that the training room is directly against the Zamboni room, causing the carcinogenic chemicals to be ingested extensively, potentially due to, quote, inappropriate ventilation or through a shared drainage system. The defendants in the suit have 20 days to respond to the complaint, though extensions are usually granted in cases like this. First off, there's a lot to digest there, obviously, but first off, you just have to feel horrible for these guys. I mean, everyone that I know, that I'm sure you know, has been affected by cancer in some way, shape, or form in their life, whether they've lost loved ones or had it themselves. And I mean, this is just, it's just sad. Where these guys have given so much of their lives to this team and to this organization, and they're being called, I hate to throw this term out there, but they're basically being called liars. By their team, that, again, by their own organization that they've worked so hard for. And you wish them the best, but there really is, like, it's tough because terminal cancer, there's really no best way. Like, it sounds messed up to say that, but it's like, it's, again, I mean, that's how it is, where it's terminal cancer, and it's kind of, you make the best of the time that you potentially have left. And then I'm trying to think, it's tough to, obviously I'm trying to be considerate. I'm not looking at the fly. So this is the Flyers' full statement. This is from, quote, the safety of our employees and guests at the Flyers Training Center and all of our facilities is always a top priority for us. We have looked into the allegations made by Jim McCrossan and Sal Raffa over the course of several months and, based on that, believe that their claims have no merit. Beyond that, we cannot comment further given that this matter is in litigation, end quote. I mean, it's as if things weren't bad enough on the ice for the team. This just, again, casts a very large shadow of negativity. And, I mean, if you're these guys' family and friends and even the team, I mean, I'm angry, first of all, it's tough because it's still an evolving situation, but it was such a big splash, I guess, so to speak. I know I'm not using the right terms here. I'm trying to, think of the words, but it's just such a terrible thing to happen to these guys. And if it does end up being caused by these inefficient ventilation systems from the Zamboni, I was seeing things where the Zamboni room was right next to the weight room. So the trainers are obviously in there with players. And I mean, again, who knows what other people were affected by this too. There's so many people that are in and out of the skate zone. I mean, we've been there. Like, we're not there a lot, I guess, luckily at this point, because like, we weren't exposed to that type of stuff. But I mean, if you're there pretty much every day for 20 plus years on both their ends, like, I just can't imagine, man. And it's tough. It's a tough situation. Again, it just kind of casts that negative shadow just over the entire organization. Whether it's on or off the ice, things just aren't getting better for this team. As of right now, you can go back to the hockey side of it, where you can say, yes, maybe there is hope with Fletcher. But again, I mean, I was wondering to myself, sorry, Dave, to ramble on here, but...
No, you're good.
Depending on, I guess, what happens, is it out of the ballpark to think that the league steps in on this? And, I mean, we've seen... I don't think they will.
No.
But, like, I don't think this is grounds for, like, the NHL being like, you guys messed up, you have to sell the team. Like, no. I don't think that's going to happen. But I think... Again, it's in litigation, which means it's an ongoing case, and I'm sure we'll see stuff come out in the near future. But I hate to use this phrase, but it's just something that I use as a regular phrase. But just a not even a tough look; it's just a horrible look for the Flyers if this is true. And again, you feel for the two human beings that are affected by this, and they just again, it's. Their lives are like kind of they're ruined where they have terminal cancer. Like,
yeah.
So it's tough. It's a tough subject to talk about. And I hopefully for those listening that you can kind of, again, you can read the article again from Sanfilippo on Crossing Broad. And then also again, do your own research, form your own opinion, all that stuff. But again, this is just me kind of not, just again, talking about tough situations is tough for anyone. Again, just you feel terrible for Jim McCrossin and Sal Raffa, their friends, their family, anyone that they've known. I mean, it's just horrible news. Dave, I'll throw it over to you if for your thoughts at this point.
Yeah, just like you, I'm angry. I guess when it rains and it pours with this franchise and this organization, but just. Feel like if you're a professionally run hockey team, you should have state-of-the-art facilities, which is something that the Flyers have always bragged they've had.
Yeah.
Then why didn't you have proper ventilation? I mean, there's so many risks and things that can happen when an ice rink is run and mismanaged, like carbon monoxide poisoning. There's a whole bunch of chemicals with the Zambonis. Like, you know, you're running a driving vehicle indoors and they run off of propane unless they're electric. And it sounds like the Flyers at Skatestone use propane Zambonis. You got to make sure you've got top of the line air ventilation there. And you got to make sure not just where the rink is, you know, make sure the Zamboni rooms are well ventilated and organized. You know, when I worked at Wintersport, you know, we had to, when we were taking out that Zamboni, no matter what time of day it was, if that Zamboni was running, you either had the fans on and your garage door open or both. I feel for those guys, man. You pretty much said everything that can be said about this. It's just a really shitty situation. Their lives are ruined and they're two longtime Flyers employees. And it's just another bad thing that happens in Philadelphia. Not trying to throw any humor into this, but like, it's just rough and it's sad.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm looking at the actual article now on Crossing Broad and just a little bit more supplemental information.
And we can link the article. We'll link the article to this week's pod on our Facebook and social media. So for those who want to read it, can read it.
Yep, but this is just, again, some tidbits. The complaint also alleged that the Zamboni machines in use at the Flyers Training Center, quote, were and or are fueled by gasoline and or fuel containing and or producing carcinogens during operations, end quote, while other comparable ice resurfacing machines that are not gas operated or require operational fuel that contains carcinogens are available for sale. In addition, the Zamboni machines at the Flyers Training Center allegedly were and or are turned on while parked inside the Zamboni room, where they remain idling prior to entering the rink. It's also alleged that upon completion of ice resurfacing, quote, the Zamboni machines in use at the Flyers Training Center were and or are returned to the Zamboni room, where the machines again remain idling while the dirty ice is drained, quote. The complaint claims that the Zamboni room did not have the appropriate ventilation system for carcinogen emitting equipment or machinery, lacked the proper drainage system for the, quote, dirty ice, and that the Zamboni room is located immediately adjacent to both the ice rink and the training room, which is where McCrossin and Rafa worked primarily. So, I mean, again, this is just, it's tough. We'll link the article. If you haven't already seen it as a Flyers fan, this was obviously huge news on Flyers Twitter, and I mean in the hockey world, I think. Something like this comes to light, it's horrible to see, first of all, and it just, again, it casts a terrible shadow over the Flyers. But again, we'll see what happens, and these guys are gonna live their lives as best they can at this point, yep, with the hand that they've been dealt. So we can kind of transition back to the NHL and hopefully get to some lighter news here. I don't know why I'm watching a game. Oh, sorry. We can go around the league. We'll get back to the lighter things here. I'll just kind of run through some topics here, just a handful tonight, after we had the soup incident.
Matzo ball soup gate 2022.
Yeah.
That was good matzo ball soup too. Like Brenna, like I told her, I was like, you pat yourself on the back, babe. That was awesome. And now it's gone.
Passover next year. But yeah, so it was announced earlier today that the NHL Global Series is making a return. According to NHL.com, the Nashville Predators, San Jose Sharks, Colorado Avalanche, and Columbus Blue Jackets will play in the 2022 NHL Global Series. There will be two exhibition games and four regular season games played in four cities outside of North America next season, the first time the NHL has played international games since 2019. The NHL played 32 preseason games and 28 regular season games in Europe from 2007, from 2007 to 2011, and from 2017 to 2019. The Predators and Sharks will open the 2022-23 season with two games at O2 Arena in Prague on October 7th and 8th. That arena most recently hosted the Flyers and the Blackhawks. The Flyers won 4-3. That was actually a pretty cool game. And then the Predators will play a preseason game against SC Bern of the Swiss National League at Post
Flyers
Finance
Arena. Flyers know them all too well.
Yeah. Post Finance Arena in Bern, Switzerland. And on October 3rd, the Sharks will play a preseason game against Eisenbahn Berlin, former squad of Claude Giroux and Danny Briere during the lockout.
Yes. The Berlin Ice Bears.
The Ice Bears from the DEL, or the Deutsche Eishockey Liga, at Mercedes-Benz Arena in Berlin on October 4th. Nashville will be playing in Europe for the first time, with its lone international game being a 3-1 win against the Pittsburgh Penguins at Saitama Super Arena in Saitama, Japan, back on October 6th of 2000. San Jose also played two games against the Blue Jackets at Ericsson Globe in Stockholm in the 2010 NHL Premier Series. And the Sharks have also played two games against the Calgary Flames at Yoyogi Arena in Tokyo back in 1998. So some cool outside-the-box games from the NHL here. And it'll just be exciting to have global hockey back. The Global Series, like, it's tough because it's almost kind of like more for it's more for the other countries than it is for us.
Yeah, the
But it's good marketing, which is good. Yes. Like, it's good that the game is getting to where it is, different corners of the earth and so on and so forth. So it'll be cool to see how these games work, and they always do some cool ceremonies and such along the lines for that. So something to look forward to for next season.
Yeah, it's nice hockey, and it's a good way to see other leagues. Like, I'll definitely watch that, the game against the Ice Bears.
Yeah.
That'll be cool.
Yep. Moving on, we will go from Europe to back to North America, specifically Las Vegas, Nevada, where some history was made just the other night. Last night, actually. No, yeah.
Yes, Wednesday, 4:20.
Blaze it. If it's legal, we don't condone drug use on this podcast.
No.
We don't condone illicit drug use.
Yes, there you go. Proper verbiage.
But in Las Vegas, Alex Ovechkin was at it again. He tied Wayne Gretzky and Mike Bossy, who we sadly have to touch on that he passed away. But he tied Gretzky and Bossy for the most 50-goal seasons in NHL history with 9 when he scored twice for the Capitals in a 4-3 overtime loss to the Vegas Golden Knights at T-Mobile Arena on Wednesday. Actually, that winning goal by Shea Theodore in overtime was actually pretty sick.
Yeah.
But the 36-year-old left wing became the oldest player in NHL history to score 50 goals in a season at 36 years and 215 days, surpassing Johnny Bucyk, who was 35 years, 308 days, when he scored his 50th with the Boston Bruins in 1970-71. Ovi was quoted saying, "It's pretty good company. I'm kind of pretty happy. When you score the first one, you just feel pretty good about the game. I think our line today feel good. We have pretty good chances. It's one of the nights you're feeling it." It was Ovechkin's 158th multi-goal game, tying Brett Hull for second in NHL history behind Gretzky's 189. And he again reached 50 goals for the 9th time in his 17 NHL seasons. Gretzky did it 9 times in 20 seasons, while Bossy did it 9 times in 10 seasons, all with the Islanders. Again, sadly, Mike Bossy did pass away last Friday after a battle with lung cancer, but he was the only player to score 50 goals in 9 consecutive seasons, as opposed to Gretzky and Ovechkin doing it in non-consecutive seasons. So, Dave, Ovi continues to, the Russian machine continues not to break, as we've said time and time again, and he's 2 goals closer to catching Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah, no, Ovi's gonna Ovi. You know, nothing really much more to say. We've talked about Ovi a lot this year because with every goal, you know, he breaks or ties some record or some Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
So I'm just looking forward to see how close he gets to Gretzky, and I think he'll pass him.
I agree. But moving on to our next topic of potentially Flyers, not potentially, definitely Flyers relevance, the draft lottery, the 2022 yes. NHL draft lottery. It was announced that it would be held on May 10th, which is if you don't know, the draft lottery is for teams that miss the Stanley Cup playoffs, and the order will be set for the first 16 selections of the upcoming 2022 NHL draft on July 7th and 8th in Montreal at the Bell Center. The draft lottery drawing will be broadcast at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN, ESPN Plus, Sportsnet, Sportsnet Now, and TVAS, which I believe is a French network.
I think the TVAS, I think, is over in Europe.
Huh. I never
could be wrong. I know one of us is right and the other one is wrong.
That's okay with me. But beginning this season, according to the NHL.com article, beginning this season, there will be a limit on the total number of selections, 10. A team participating in the lottery can move up in the event it wins one of the lottery draws, a change announced by the NHL back on March 23rd of 2021. Only the top 11 seeds will be eligible to receive the number one selection in the 2022 draft. The odds for the first draw of the 2022 draft lottery have been adjusted following the addition of the Seattle Kraken as the league's 32nd team this season. They are as follows. They have, I'm not going to read all 16 of them, but the top 3, which you would assume hopefully the Flyers will be in for getting the number one overall pick, At number one, you have 18.5%. Number two, you have 13.5%. And number three, you have 11.5%. It gets smaller as it goes down, obviously, all the way down to 16. But we'll see what happens. The Flyers are in a – they're in a good spot if you need a high draft pick, but obviously they're not in a good spot when it comes to being a contender. So you kind of – again, it's messed up to say this, but you kind of want them to lose out these next five games. Because that just increases it just increases their odds of getting that number one overall pick, or again at least a top three pick, because I believe this next draft class is pretty deep.
It should be good, yeah. I mean, Shane Wright is supposed to go first overall, and he's supposed to be a generational talent. So,
speaking of generational talent, I'm gonna maybe a stretch here, but we're gonna go up to Seattle, where we had some news the other day come out where Grammy-winning rapper Macklemore and retired Seattle Seahawks running back Marshawn Lynch were announced as minority owners of the Seattle Kraken. Both of them attended the Kraken's 4-2 win against the Ottawa Senators at Climate Pledge Arena on Monday to celebrate joining the ownership group, and Macklemore said he plans to attend a lot more games going forward. He was quoted saying, "I am a Seattle sports fan through and through, have been my entire life. I think that's that sports define a city. They bring people together. It gives us one common purpose to root for. It's really the spirit of the city in so many ways, and to be a part of that new era that is the Kraken, that is the NHL in Seattle, that is the new arena, to do what was a no-brainer in terms of the opportunity. It's just something that I can't really even put into words. It's a big moment for myself, for Marshawn. We're both super pumped to be involved, for my family and for the future." I'm going to make a joke here. Marshawn Lynch was quoted saying, "You know why I'm here." That was his press conference. That wasn't him.
But I'm here so they don't find me.
Yeah, I'm here so I don't get fined. I was curious too. It was actually a good part, a good foreshadow on the part of the Kraken social media team, where they hinted at the announcement with it was a Seattle puck and then it had Skittles all around it, because Marshawn Lynch always got fed Skittles when he did something really good at a football game. It was also cool, there was a video that came out that was going around on Twitter of him doing donuts on the Zamboni at the rink. So both of them also got jerseys but someone, they asked Marshawn Lynch what he wanted as on the nameplate, and like it wasn't his name. He just wanted it to say owner. So
that is a baller move right there.
Yeah. Yep. So both him and Macklemore have owner on the back of their jerseys as the nameplates. And there's a pretty cool picture of them in this article. So, but yeah, I mean, two guys, obviously one famous in sports, the other famous in music. Good to have them in Seattle. Hopefully they can do a lot for the team.
I've got a bad joke here.
Let her rip.
Macklemore did not go to the thrift shop to become minority owner of the Seattle Kraken.
No.
You see what I did there?
Ain't no popping tags when you're becoming the minority owner of a sports franchise.
Exactly. I'm glad you picked up what I was laying down.
Yeah. Yep. I got you. To end our night, it's bittersweet. We have to honor one of hockey's greats who passed away on Friday. We hinted at it earlier when we were talking about Ovi. But in case you didn't know, the legendary forward Mike Bossy sadly passed away on Friday at the age of 65 after a long battle with lung cancer. He won four consecutive Stanley Cup championships with the Islanders and was elected to the Hockey Hall of Fame back in 1991. Prior to Tuesday's game the other day, the Islanders encouraged fans to bring flowers to place in front of Bossy's plaque on the Hall of Fame wall at the new UBS Arena. And the Islanders also did an emotional pregame video tribute projecting the number 22 onto the ice, and also had a moment of silence. And also Bossy's daughter Tanya and granddaughters Alex and Gabriel Gabriel, were in attendance for the tribute. So I watched the video. It's very, very good tribute. And just, yeah, I mean, Bossy's number 22 was also on display in Times Square over the weekend. Just a huge figure in the NHL and sports in general. He had, again, 9 consecutive seasons with 50-plus goals. I believe he averaged 50 goals every season that he played in the NHL ever. One of the best pure goal scorers there ever will be in hockey. His 4 Stanley Cups with the Islanders dynasty. I think he had back-to-back game winnings, Stanley Cup game-winning goals as well. If you don't know Mike Bossy, you can't even call yourself a sports fan, let alone a hockey fan. Yeah. One of the all-time pure goal scorers. The great celebration that he did when he scored his 50th goal with the kind of the running on the ice type of thing. But again, I mean, we've lost another hockey great. The second one, sadly, for the Islanders this year with the loss of Clark Gillies as well. Yep. So another tough blow to the hockey community. We wish Mike Bossy's family thoughts and prayers, and we just wish them the best going forward. The patriarch will not be forgotten. Again, Mike Bossy, Hall of Famer, just a legendary goal scorer, hockey player, sports icon, and he will be greatly missed.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's not much more to say to add on to what you said, Master. You covered all the bases. I mean, Mike Bossy, I mean, if you're a hockey fan and a sports fan, you know that name. One of the, like you said, one of the best all-time goal scorers ever in hockey history. And, you know, the world's a lesser place without him. You wish you didn't say these things because 65 years old is way too young to go. And it's very, very sad. It is sad indeed.
Yes, but we will end the episode on that. We think, again, for losing such a towering figure in the hockey and sports world, we're going to skip out on our usual random player of the week just to give Mike Bossy the airtime that he deserves. So, again, rest in peace, Mike Bossy, and you'll be greatly missed.
Yep, but, and I also do want to – I am going to throw another tribute section on here, Master, and I know I'm throwing you a new one. I don't know if you saw any of my posts on Facebook, but Dump and Change lost a member of the squad – last evening. Tony K. Matt, I'm not sure if you met Tony or not. But he just recently joined the team this year. He was an elder man between the pipes and a forward skating out at times, played goalie being blind in one eye, in his left eye. And he joined the beer league squad this past winter season. Mm-hmm. But his health started to take a turn for the worse. There was a GoFundMe made for his family, and we just lost Tony last night, as a matter of fact. So ending the podcast today on various very, very, very somber notes. Tony was a great guy, and he's a guy who he really brightened up the locker room. There still is a GoFundMe up for him and his family to help, for his family to help pay for medical expenses. And there, of course, is also going to be a Memorial Cup tournament in his honor held at Grundy at the end of next month in May, which I will be playing in along with a couple other guys in the squad. So
nice.
A sad way to end the podcast this week, but we definitely needed to touch on Mike Bossy, and I wanted to make a point to toss out, rest in peace to Tony K.
Definitely. I mean, We honor those who we lose. It's sad to lose them, but again, their memories will live on, and just again them being around and making an impact on us, no matter how small, will always be remembered.
Yes, definitely. So with that, thank you all for listening as always. Thank you for being patient with us and staying through the matzo ball soup gate of 2022 during this episode as well. We will be back next week with a new pod, hopefully not ending on a somber note. With that, everyone, good night and good hockey.